Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Blake.
I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie.
Okay, pod besties, that was a weird intro, right?
Mm.
We've got Blake Moynes in the house. And if you guys saw his face when he did that intro, he looked so stressed.
I was stressed.
Never I was like, are you before. Okay?
You know what? I was even stressed when I first started. When we first started the podcast, I would have to intro it. I was like, it's nerve-wracking.
Anything that feels like a line. You know, Let me just deliver it how I want to. Don't tell me a line. Let me just be natural, you know?
I mean, we didn't tell you how to deliver it. We just, okay, well, anyways, many of you know Blake Moynes as the guy I went to the Caribbean with, but he's also a very experienced reality TV show personality. Blake, you were on 2 seasons of The Bachelorette, the 16th and 17th seasons, and then you got engaged to The Bachelorette on the 17th season, Katie Thurston, but it ended in quite a bit of a messy split, which we'll get into. And then you were also on the latest season of The Bachelor in Paradise. So, Blake Moynes, welcome to Out of the Pods.
Thank you for having me. I mean, we were due for a while to do this.
Yeah. Like, we've been talking about it for a while to have you on, especially when we went to the Caribbean together. And I feel like there was a bunch of dating rumors between us, which we will clarify at some point in this episode. Yeah. The answer is yes, we did date.
Honestly, that's the only reason why I needed you on, because I need to get the tea on what happened in the Caribbean.
Right.
Well, we're excited to have you, but is this your first time in Chicago?
You know what? Actually, the first time I ever was in Chicago was for the original casting of the show.
Really?
I started to do my first before they started doing a lot of the process through Zoom to get on. Yeah, that was where I came to do it.
Like, was it an in-person audition or a casting process here?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, All the way from Toronto?
Yeah, I flew in.
Wow. I wonder why they did it in Chicago. That's interesting.
I think it was like the early stages of trying to find out personalities and stuff. And that's, they wanted me to come here.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to have to get into all of that. But first, we did want to talk about how the first ever Asian Bachelorette lead was announced. It is Jen Tran from the latest season of The Bachelor. Deep D and I actually got really teary-eyed when she was announced because it's so important for Deep D and I, just for that AAPI representation. When we were on Love is Blind and we were the first ever Asian cast members, main
on
cast
a worldwide
members,
show too.
It was like we didn't realize how important it was going to be until our season came out and we got so many messages from Asian women and men just being like, thank you for representing us. And so I feel that way about Jen, where it's she's from a US show, a show that has been running for more than 20 plus years, and they've never had an Asian lead. So it's so important for us. We're so excited. We're going to watch her season. But what did you think when she was announced? Like, were you surprised by it? Were you expecting it?
I think, like most of us, we weren't necessarily expecting it just because of the Daisy and Marias that everyone was, you know, rooting for in some sense. But I understand their decision. I watched the season. She was super sweet. I mean, all the guys are going to be chasing and
100%.
And like, she's very cute.
Everyone hear that?
No, I mean, she is.
Trying to go on the season?
He's
stepping
around.
Out of the limo.
No, she's very cute. And the thing is, you know, it's hard to, I don't know anything about her, but I do know people that do know her very well, just through the franchise, but the actual production side of things who high things to say about her. So I'm expecting a really, really great season. And I expect all the guys to be really fawning.
I'm excited over her. I can't wait. Honestly, I feel like just growing up, we never saw people who look like us on a big national television show. So to see the representation is everything. So we're really excited about that.
Like, I understand kind of the backlash of why she was chosen, because Maria and Daisy got more, I would say, prolific or significant storylines on the latest season of The Bachelor. Do I think race came into play? Absolutely. Just like it did, I think, with us with Deep D and I in that, were we cast on Love is Blind because we were Asian? Probably. Like, was that a part of it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it just comes back to making sure that these shows are now diverse and representing America. And I think it's just really important. So, like, I get the backlash, but I don't really understand it. And if, for people who are saying, oh, it's just because she's Asian. Yeah, probably. But it's really important for there to be an Asian lead.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, diversity is so important. If they want growth in the show and a bigger audience, but just an actual scope of what America is, it is extremely diverse.
Yeah.
You keep only going with
like white leads.
Yeah. I think it takes time, and I think we're progressing in the right direction at least.
I do. And these, you know, these networks that are put on these shows are a lot more understanding and doing a much better job of that. Mm-hmm. And it's necessary, regardless of like what I think there could be major business decisions and why it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Agreed.
Absolutely.
Well, we love your support on it. Yeah. And Deep D and I are very excited to watch that season of The Bachelorette with Jen.
Yeah,
I think I've never watched any of the shows from The Bachelor franchise, but I think this will be my first one.
Well, let's bring it back to you. How did you end up on The Bachelorette? So you were Tayshia and Claire's season. Were you actually there to find love? Did you think you could find love, or was it for the experience? Was it for the fame?
Yeah. So So a combination of things here. First, you don't know who it's going to be when you're originally like put an application in.
Oh. So did you put an application in?
So I was with my buddies after playing ice hockey. You meet in the parking lot. You'll have a nice contact.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was only single one of that group for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, you're kind of crazy. You don't care what people think at all. You're kind of out there. You do okay with women. Why don't you try one of these shows like Naked and Afraid or like going to like a bachelor show? I'm like, I'm a Canadian kid. This is a US show. There's no way I would get onto this. Like, just like send something in and see what bites. The application process is so long. It's pages long.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I just sent in like a photo and the first little paragraph, like why I think it'd be good, but I didn't fill out anything else.
Oh, so they were like, he's coming on.
Yeah. No, but then it was 3 months later. I totally forgot that I even did it. And then I got a random call. And I was like, okay, call me tomorrow. So I called them and then it just happened from there. Once I knew I was getting on, then it was like, I don't know who this is going to be. I don't even know what I'm doing. And I've had long-term relationships all through my 20s. I'm a relationship person. Mm-hmm. But I'm like my life I live right now. I say yes to anything crazy, anything new, anything that's going to be grow. I say yes to anything crazy. So I was like, this is a crazy experience. I don't know what it's going to bring me. I could really like the person but I just went off of the experience. And then once Claire was announced, we had that 3 month gap because COVID shut us down. We were supposed to meet Claire that night. Right. Trump came on the online and said, world shutting down. Mm-hmm. We had our suits on, ready to meet her that night. We all took her home. Wow. So for 3 months, then we knew it was going to be Claire. And then when you know, you were like, kind of put your mindset as like finding reasons as to why I really like her and why we would work. Mm-hmm. So it kind of changed from just being an experience to be like, I could see myself. This is why, because you dive into social media, you learn things about her.
Yeah.
And then you kind of convince yourself that she is it and this could be it. Yeah. So a transition of an experience, finding out who it was, and then really diving into like, this could work. Because if you don't dive in, and the people that don't dive in and try to strategize, aren't vulnerable, aren't open to actually meeting and falling in love, usually fall off pretty quick. Or the producers see through that. And it's like, no, they want vulnerability and people that are really honestly there for that. That's what creates great TV.
Yeah. Well, did you feel like you had a lot of competition? Because like watching the show, it feels like it's hard to find time with the lead. Mm-hmm. Did you have trouble doing that? Or like, how do you differentiate yourself from everyone else?
Because you brought up strategize. Yeah. So I, like when you said that, I'm thinking of like, do you need to go in with a strategy considering you're competing with 20 plus guys for time?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's, I mean, definitely people strategize.
Yeah.
But the producers see through that. They interview you for so long. They know who you are. So all of a sudden you come on and you're trying to play a certain, like, uh-uh-uh. So I didn't strategize. I knew that I couldn't just sit in the back. So that's why on the first season I was doing some things that were pretty bold to get her to notice. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, it's... You know what I mean? I didn't come there to like just sit on my thumbs. Like,
I'm going to like not to make friends
and try to. Yeah. So, I wouldn't say strategy, but just like go out of your comfort zone is kind of the strategy and dive into it. Don't sit back.
Yeah.
You came back for the 17th mm-hmm. season and mm-hmm. you were kind of a late addition. Mm-hmm. Did you like terrified. Approach it that season differently than the first one?
I felt more comfortable knowing what the experience was like. So when you go on the first time, you're like, what is this going to be like? And mm-hmm. it was terrifying in a sense. But coming on season 17 was more terrifying because I knew the backlash I was going to get from the guys. Like I talked about, I don't like disappointment. Coming into a room of 25 guys are like, why the fuck are you here?
Like, why are you back? And like, and is it for fame?
It's competition
again. And
it
could be hell in that house for X amount of time mm-hmm. if 25 guys dislike you.
And was it That's like true. That for your season? Like, I don't think it showed on the show that any of the guys really disliked you, but did you feel it? Like, people were like, what the heck is he doing here?
Yes, definitely people had that thought, but very quickly, I mean, I'm pretty much a guy's guy. Like, it's hard to hate me. It's kind of hard to hate me. Like, I'm a guy's guy.
I don't know. I mean,
so like, you got along, I got along with it. I mean,
you are very likable.
It took a little bit of time, mm-hmm. but once I got enough time in the house with the guys and stuff, then it was fine. But that original walk in and facing everyone and be like, I'm here, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
The most uncomfortable. I wanted to shit.
Well, literally. I'm sure people are like, the guys are probably looking at you as a threat, but because they don't really know you. And then once they get to know you, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We got to give him his fair shot.
Can I ask you something though? Yeah. Why did you do that 17th season? Like, did they ask you to come back or did you have feelings for Katie? Like, how did you end up on another season of The Bachelorette?
So I actually was already signed, ready to go do Paradise. Paradise was where I was supposed to be going.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I was ready to go. And, you know, there's like, these not lists, but you do talk about who you're interested in meeting on the beach.
Yeah.
Mm. Katie being the number one person that I wanted to see there.
Interesting.
Now, as The Bachelorette's like being chosen, you hear the rumors, all the things. There's a chance I knew that she might be announced as the lead, mm-hmm. but wasn't sure. There's a couple other people that it could have been. And so, watching that very, very closely. And a lot of people were shipping Katie and I like through socials in general. Yeah. Once she was announced, and I was like, okay, there goes the person I was really interested in seeing in Paradise. So I made a call and I was like, what's the chances I can just meet her?
Wow.
What's the chances I can just meet her? If it doesn't work, if she's not interested at all, I'll back out, go to Paradise as I was supposed to. But if it's good, and we connect and there's something there, I'll see it through. And there's a long process because the producers did not want a stunt. They was a long process of like, not a convincing as to why I thought, but like why I really truly thought that we would get along. Mm-hmm. We ended up being right in that situation by the end of it. But yeah, there was a long process. That's why I kind of came on a little bit later too, because you have to go through all the paperwork and all the things to get there. Because I would have liked to start night one and not come in late.
Yeah.
Just time-wise in general.
Right. But, yeah, because you're losing time with her. But that's actually really cool. And it goes back to, I say this all the time, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. Mm-hmm. So like you putting yourself out there and just like taking that chance and like, look where it led you.
You know, I'm not going to lie, because we've talked about this when we went on that conservation trip together mm-hmm. in the Caribbean. But, you know, we've talked about this, but I remember like hearing a lot about you through friends who are fans of the Bachelor franchise. And you know how you've been on so many of the shows, and I always thought, like, was it for fame? Like, is it for fame? Like, mm-hmm. is he genuine? But it's so crazy. Like, what I will say for anyone listening is, you know, like, you are very genuine in that. I don't think you do things. You're never like compelled by the fame and attention.
I think mm-hmm. it stems from like a sense of confidence that I don't care what people think, and so.
Yeah.
It's self-serving in a sense to go on to these things, but it's truly if you're pursuing something that's pure, which everyone wants love or a connection. When you see somebody that you think you really are going to like on TV, it's like, well, I'll never be able to meet her probably outside of it. If I really want to meet her, I have to go on and do this.
Yeah.
The easier thing to do would be go on Paradise.
Right.
The easiest thing to do is do that. It was not easy to go on to another season that I've already been through. It's not a fun process. And work through that, no, not fun at all. So is it the fame thing? No. But if I really wanted to meet someone I was interested in, that was the only chance I was going to be able to meet her. Unless, so what if she did link up with somebody else?
Yeah. Or
go take a shot. Again, I was going to back out if it wasn't there and just go on Paradise. And no one would have batted an eye if I just went on Paradise. But I didn't want to take the easy route in a sense. I wanted to go with what I wanted. Who I wanted was the harder route, and going back on a show that I didn't really want to fucking go do.
Yeah, it's
not
like
fun.
It's
not
exactly
a fun thing. It's highly stressful.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
It's very like it's risk. I also knew that people were going to be like, this guy. It's like, yeah, but it's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm interested. I'm going.
Yeah.
Is what
I
it
love
is.
That actually. Well, when you proposed to Katie, were you actually in love with her? Did you like envision that future? Because I think like it makes sense that like it's hard to get a lot of time in mm-hmm. with your
Isn't it less than like 24 hours that the lead spends with their final two contestants?
Yeah, I think I think it changes year to year. I think that once the production gets a really good sense of who the leads are interested in the most, towards the end, they really try to make time for you guys to make stable mm-hmm. as a relationship or connection that you can to ensure or help on the most, for the most part, that you are going to be able to make it in the outside world. The show wants success.
Right.
Wants it. The show has nothing if it continues to fail. Mm-hmm. So they really do make an effort. My time was fairly short because it did come on later, but they did towards the end, and thankfully people left. There was no other guys really at the end that you were really able to spend a lot of time at the end together. At the proposal, in terms of like falling in love and all of that, the show, absolutely you can fall in love. I think the difference is that it's a different kind. And what I mean by that is I think it's a fantasy love because it's a fantasy love. So the challenge is you can absolutely create a fantasy love, but is that fantasy love able to translate into real love?
Yes, in the real world.
In the real world. And can you come down from that, see the purity in like the core of what the person is without the gowns and the horses and the helicopters and all the things.
And the setups.
And the setup and just
all the
and then
cameras.
And that is the hard transition. So absolutely you can be set up for love there and you find all the reasons because we're all hopeless romantics on these shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You find all the reasons to fully like fall in love and you can do that, but does it translate? That's the hardest part.
I think that's exactly it for us too. It's like we're in this bubble of like just fun and like you have all these producers and mm-hmm. cameras and then you're left by yourself with your couple. I'm like, can you make it in the real world? Can you handle conflict now? Can you do, there's this, I think it's the beginning of something while it's the end, you know what I mean? Even if you're proposed and you get there, it's just hard to get into the real world and see how it's gonna last.
We talk about this a lot about Love is Blind you're kind of like put in a bubble where you may be falling in love or you think you're falling in love because you're set up. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of this like perfect recipe pretty much where, you're talking so much about love and like what you have in common and like finding compatibility. But then you realize like you get to the real world and it's like, do those actions match up with the words that were said, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And like the values you said you have, do you actually have them? And which you could only see through actions. And so that's really tough, but you're totally right of like, it is this like fantasy love and you want to believe in it. And sometimes it does work out.
But and it's incredible when it does. Yeah. So those couples that do have that, it's like, you're so
amazing.
Lucky.
Exactly. Yeah. We say that all the time. Mm-hmm. It's about compatibility, but honestly, it's the luck of the draw. If you find your person out here, you're lucky. Mm-hmm.
100%.
It's hard in this world.
Yeah.
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 We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
So what happened with you and Katie after filming was done? Because, you know, it's kind of been alluded that it was like a little bit of a messy split.
Yeah. Things were really great for a while. I mean, we ended up, I think we together for like 7 months after the actual.
Oh, I did not know.
So, yeah, we were together for a while.
Yeah.
I think when we were announced and then were able to go public, things got, I think we just, it was hard to make that transition from fantasy, because even when you're, you know, off the show, but you can't be public, it still feels pretty fantasy in the way that you're seeing each other all the time.
Totally.
Right? Happy couples and all of that. The distance played a part. I mean, me going to Kenya did not help, but we just really were starting to find out when we were spending decent amount of times at length together that we just were not compatible as lovers. I could be great friends with her because we do share the core things that which made me think this could work out and why I went on to meet her, but we just compatibility wise with like the actual romantic side, and we just did not.
Can I ask you something? Because we hear it a lot with couples within the Love is Blind franchise, where there is this pressure to kind of stay together after, you know, you get engaged or you get married. And sometimes you could kind of like push through and make it work. But other times it's like you're kind of there because everyone expects you to stay together and be together. So did you feel that with Katie?
Yes and no, especially because I think being the second show, and I guess technically like the third lead, because the first show had two leads that on it. And it was like, oh man, the failure. I'm going to look like such an idiot. Like I came on so strong for this person and then it ends up failing. That was going to be, but the thing is like, I'm not good at faking it.
Yeah.
And once I'm like, you know, I think a certain way or I can't fake it. I can't live in that. So we tried. We went and spent some time together in San Diego at her place. And we realized, I think we both realized in that 3 week time frame or 2 week time frame that it was not going to be, we both kind of knew, but no one really wanted to like push that. Yeah. Then I went to Kenya, came back from Kenya. That didn't really go well with the distance and communicating there. And then, yeah, she was supposed to come to Canada. And we were hoping, I think that was going to be our last really push to see if we could turn things around. And then we didn't even make it to Canada. So we both sat on a Zoom call, and it was an emotional Zoom call, and we did not really expect it to come. Honestly, I did not really expect it to happen in that moment. Or not Zoom call, sorry, FaceTime. FaceTime.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, imagine a Zoom call.
FaceTime. FaceTime.
I was like, wow, just like inputting the Zoom numbers and being like, gonna.
This is about to be,
get dubbed right now.
No, honestly, that's what life is about. You have to figure out relationships, and you know, it is very hard, but I'm proud of you for like not letting the public pressure keep you together, because I think I felt that when I was in my last relationship with, you know, it was public, and it was like really hard because I'm like, damn, I'm like disappointing people, a lot of people are gonna be heartbroken over this, but
well, that's the thing, right? Who really suffers? You can't play to the audience. If you play to the audience, you're not like, you got to take care of yourself selfishly.
Well, you know, I have a great question for you. If you could choose between Love is Blind and The Bachelor, Bachelorette, what would you choose?
I don't think there's any way I could do Love is Blind.
Why? Really?
Because I, like the reasons you say, you can say anything through a fucking wall. To play into whatever.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much you can read on like mannerisms or like looks and energy through.
Absolutely.
That I would need to see. I would need to feel that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you get that in the second stage of Love is Blind. Is that enough for you? I'm not proposing unless I feel that energy.
But here's the thing about Blake. I feel like you are so honest, and you act with like you could tell how you're feeling by your facial expressions. I feel like if I could see Blake on reveal day, like, and if he's not into a girl, like physically, I feel like it'll just show on his face. Regardless of how you feel on reveal day, everyone kind of fakes it. Like everyone's like, "Yay, hi!" Like
it's weird.
Yeah, you have.
I couldn't imagine. Honestly,
I feel like you couldn't.
No,
you're just too real.
When I watch Love Is Blind, which I tune into like pieces of season, I don't usually watch the full thing through. But those episodes, I gotta turn. I can't. Yeah. I can't do it. It makes
He's
me
cringe.
It's so fucking weird.
No, it is.
It makes me that I like. I can't see that.
No, imagine being
there. I was just gonna say.
The thing is, you can. I can. I feel like you can tell most times when people are into it or not, and yeah. I don't. I'm like, how does she feel? I feel like, does she see it the way I see it? Because she's not into it. Like, are you, yeah. how does she feel? I feel bad for her or vice versa. I don't yeah. like that feeling.
Okay, yeah. well, can I tell you? So my partner from the show told me during reveal, like he wasn't really into it, but on the show he acts like he's really into it. Mm. So I think like people are really good.
Oh,
not
that
he wasn't
humans,
into it, but
like,
he was just like, oh, it's, she doesn't look like how I thought she would look.
No, human nature is to lie in that moment. You don't want to be perceived as a bad person to right. like think that something
because
is
you know
off.
Like
come on,
yeah. the physical aspect isn't supposed to matter supposedly. So right.
well, that's the experiment.
Interesting. Okay, so you would always choose to do the Bachelor, Bachelorette.
I mean, I think I would still. If I was asked, I would probably do it because it would be such a mind fuck yeah. and like working through that would yeah. be a growth thing for me in a sense. Like I say, I'll say to anything crazy.
A challenge.
But I would struggle. Mm. I would struggle with it.
Mm, interesting. I feel like you'd do great on Love is Blind. Weirdly.
I know.
I was like, oh,
you have
surprise.
A great voice.
See, that's the thing is like a voice is a big in this show.
Oh, it's huge.
Which is like,
huge.
What?
If you have a crystal clear voice and you don't say like an as much as I do, like you will thrive.
You're articulate, you have a good tone. Yeah, yeah you will thrive in that space.
Yeah, not my show. I don't think, I don't think it is. No.
Well, okay. So after being on two seasons of The Bachelorette, you were on the latest season of Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. As somebody who did reality TV before, did you go into it with a strategy? Like, what was your, how did you approach that show? How is it like different from The Bachelorette?
I had spoke to a lot of people that have done both shows. Everyone says that Paradise was saying Paradise is so much fun in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Of
like
course, you're thrown crazy situations. But I think being through two, I was like, what can they throw at me that like I haven't seen? Like, you know, so I was very calm, confident in it. Knowing your worth and knowing what you bring to the table and just like seeing what plays out. There's multiple women come down the stairs. So it's not like you have to like, I mean, there's some battle in some sense to like, but no, it's like, I'll probably gravitate to who I want to gravitate to. She should too. There I wasn't like that. A real... There wasn't a stress, really.
Yeah. It seems more lighthearted and
there's
fun.
There's not a stress. There mm-hmm. is in some way, but not to the same degree as The Bachelorette.
Interesting. Yeah. Because Deep D and I always say, like, you know, well, we went into filming Love is Blind not knowing what to expect. We didn't know what we were getting into. But we always say if we did reality TV again, we would, I guess, be smarter. Like, we would know what to say, not say, mm-hmm. to get that messy.
That's more on Natalie's
edit.
Side. I well, did great on the show.
Right.
But like, do you, was that top of mind for
no,
you?
Never.
Like, kind of filtering? Wow. So you
yeah,
were just, because people said you got the Bachelor edit. Like, I saw a lot of people talking about that. Like, Blake got the Bachelor edit on Bachelor in Paradise. And I was like, I wonder how much his actions and words, like, played into that. Like, were you, or were you just yourself?
I was very, like, I'm just... It's interesting with The Bachelor. The thing is like, there wasn't anything that I did that was like taken out to like make sure he looks great. I didn't do anything dumb.
Yeah.
So like yeah. literally what they show was all they really had because I wasn't involved in drama. I wasn't.
I love yeah. that.
They were
that
like, he's not
happy.
Getting The Bachelor edit. We just can't edit him any other way.
Yeah.
You're just a good person.
No, I wouldn't necessarily, sure, I can see The Bachelor edit view, but there just was nothing to edit me poorly with it. They had yeah. to take out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay,
it was
sense.
A very simple season. Like for me, it was a very easy, I had a connection. That's who I wanted. Wasn't anything that was thrown at me. I mean, depending on the Katie, when Katie walked down, that could have like blown up and maybe,
oh,
you
gosh,
know,
yeah,
and made me look
Katie.
Terrible or whatever
yeah.
potentially, but
came down.
But yeah, that was, yeah, stressful.
Were you surprised
sure.
by that?
Yes.
Was that a surprise for
yes,
you?
Yes, because wow. it was right at the end of the season. Oh, and I didn't think I'm at that too. Point, I didn't think she would do that because yeah. she knew, I think, that I would be down there. So, I just think there's no way she's going to do this conversation. We haven't talked to her. She doesn't want to do it here.
Yeah. yeah.
And then
boom.
I remember that when it was happening that day, I was kind of alluded to like, just chill today. Nothing, you know, let's just have a good day. Like, so I was drinking and just like very loose, very
yeah,
loose
yeah.
and really trying to focus on like Jess and because it was coming towards the end of things. I remember we all pulled us up to go sit in the area that, you know, when things start to happen, you go to the area. I remember just like sitting there like kind of buzzing a little bit and like looking at all the cameras, and every single one was looking at me. And I'm like,
you're like, is my mom?
You're like, something is definitely about to go down.
I'm like, yeah, you're like, I'm stripping. And then your heart's just like, yeah. And then I heard her voice come up the stairs. I'm like, get the fuck out. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. wild. Mm-hmm. Well, did you feel like you had like a really good connection with Jess? Because that was your person on Bachelor in Paradise. Did you see that relationship lasting outside of the island?
Social media said, where's the connection here?
Mm-hmm. So social media was not on your side.
We were kind of boring, to be honest. We were kind of boring. Because she is so sweet natured and pure, wholesome. And so you weren't going to get a ton out of her in that sense. And same with me. Like I'm pretty composed and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot to film us talking about really, because there wasn't a lot of friction. There was at some points. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting situation with her. I could tell and knew that she was always hesitant the whole way through. The beginning, it seemed great. And I was like into it and I was more myself. But as the season went on, and she was still like waiting for certain people to come down that I knew that she was interested in.
Oh, interesting.
It was making me pull back a little bit in terms of like, what do I need to do to like make her like actually want this in full? Like she was always like, I'm not sure. How do you give someone your full self?
Yeah, you can't.
Should I be doing different? Because my natural self right now isn't what she's liking. So do I need to? And so you pull back. You're not as fun. You're not as loose.
You're guarded a little bit.
Guarded,
right?
Like, mm-hmm. And then that ruined it towards the end. Yeah, I mean, I always think about it. Like, if we actually gave it a real, and she was sure. But I just, at that point, my time in life, I need someone that is sure.
Yes.
I don't have time.
That's what I said at the altar. Let's go.
I don't have time to see if you're sure of me or not.
Yeah.
And we had enough time there for her to figure that out, I thought. And so it became a point where I was like, okay, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And not that I was 100% sure of her, but I was a lot more sure than she was. And so that's where I was like, hey, I look like an idiot here. Like, I'm trying and it's just not.
I feel like that's the best part about just like getting older and being in like different relationships. I think that's what you learn is like, if the other person is not sure, like they're just not the one for you right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you want people who are like all in.
Exactly.
I think there was more of a realization for her after the fact. Mm-hmm. And I think if she could do things a little differently, then she would. And we've had conversations after the show and we have very good relationship now. But a lot of those things don't happen until after the show. Sometimes it might be too late. And I think when then I had the time to reflect, it's like, hey, would there be the potential here to actually make this work with everything I have going on, all these things? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But she's really is like fantastic. It's just, are we in the same place to actually make something work here? It's going to take time and effort. And I don't know if I have that for her right now.
Yeah, they always say that season 2 was a failure of our Love is Blind. But I like to say
that we had two couples who got
engaged, but they got married, but got divorced. So like no one from season 2 is together. Right. But honestly, I think that not failed relationships, but like breaking up with somebody and seeing your worth and figuring out what it is that you want in life is so important. And so that's what I think our season taught the world is you should walk away from things that no longer serve you.
Yeah, 100%.
Truly.
There's so much going. Take care of yourself.
Do you feel like you have to create or curate an image of yourself like from reality TV, but like translate that into social media? Because obviously a big part of all of our lives is social media. Like, is it hard to stay authentic on that? And like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. I think I'm lucky in that the things I care about the most is also like my brand. So like if it's wildlife related, I want to pump that stuff out all the time. I think half my issue and what my social brand is so wildlife heavy, but a lot of people don't really care about how much I care about rhinos. For example.
I care about that a lot.
But a lot of people don't, right?
True.
They want to see more of like actual lifestyle stuff.
For sure.
And so I have a hard time feeding to what people actually want versus what I think is important and meaningful to me and what is should be to everybody else, which is conservation, health of the planet. We won't dive into that. But it's easy for me to just be me when it's talking about the wildlife stuff. It is hard for me to force myself into giving people the stuff they actually
Yeah, like
really, really want, it seems, which is like the drama. Yeah. And like, you know, just straps, me trying to like look good, which, you know, that's the challenge.
So you just got to post thirst straps out in the wild and then you can kind of give the people what they need, you know?
But like, you see, the organizations I work with want like, people that aren't like that. They don't want your stereotypical influencer. They want people that are out there to deliver their message.
Yeah.
And it's, they don't want just, there's a stereotype around influencers, especially in that space. Credibility, image is everything. So I've taken a long time to build that up with nonprofits, that it's all about wildlife, their message, and that someone coming out there snapping selfies with animals and trying to be hot. Yeah. Doesn't work.
It's just, yeah, no.
Exactly. And it's not pure and authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's nice to find the balance, because honestly, I'm kind of envious of you, because you have like, you're on the path of like, you have a passion, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for me to show up in the social media space, because I'm like, what am I adding value? Like, how am I adding value here? And that's the toughest thing for me, because I'm like, sure, let me just post a selfie of myself and like do this. But like, what is that really helping, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, right? Like you're feeding an eye to people who do want that, and it does fulfill people in some way. But I'm very grateful for the space I'm in, because it does feel meaningful and there's purpose to it. But yeah, I mean, I think I would have a major challenge if I didn't have that, because I wouldn't know what to post.
Yeah.
But I just would say that I am grateful that I have something that feeds everything.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you think that there's a side to you that the public hasn't seen? And if so,
yeah, I mean, I do. I do. I do. I also think that I've really transitioned out of that, especially through my mid-20s into what I am now. I mean,
because were you in your 20s when you did the Bachelorette seasons?
I turned 30 when I was on the first season.
Got it. Okay.
So 29 was like when the process of the casting started happening. But I mean, and you would never know, because I'm pretty like composed and mature now. But I mean, when I was in my early 20s and like all through high school, I was very much class clown, very much
it's so crazy because you were not funny at all.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
No, the thing is, there's, you know, it's funny because my friend, I think the first season you saw a little bit more of that with the, you didn't watch it, but just the sexual jokes and the vulgar stuff and being out there in that
way.
I heard about it. Right. So, you know, I still have that at my core, and with my close friends stuff, I'm like funny and like outrageous in those senses. I used to like drink a lot more. I just don't have the time for that now. I'm very productive. I know what I want. I know what feeds like that dopamine for me, which is like adventure and like exploration and like that. So that life's kind of behind me, but I can bring that every once in a while for sure.
That's dope.
You know, some of the things that I've heard about you, because we hadn't met until we went to that trip together to the Caribbean 2 years ago now.
I have some questions about that trip.
But I remember I was telling my friends, being like, oh, I'm going on this trip with Blake Moynes during the summer. And they're like, oh, like we watched him on these seasons of The Bachelorette. Like he's known as a big teddy bear. He gives like golden retriever vibes. He's like, you know, just so like filterless. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think you're like that. I think that you are very smart. I think you're calculating in the best way, and that you're always thinking a few steps ahead. Mm-hmm. You, not saying you aren't a teddy bear, but I think you are very, I don't know how to explain it. Like I don't get like teddy bear vibes from you. I get more like smart.
Have you heard the term, since you said golden retriever? He's actually a German shepherd. And I see that. It's just like a golden retriever's like lovey-dovey all the time, like go around. German shepherds are more like protective. They're like more.
No, I think that's
what I mean?
You.
He's a German shepherd.
And I don't want to break like the public's perception of you by any means. But when I met you, I remember being like, okay, like this guy just like knows what he's doing next. Like, you know, like if we had something planned in the Caribbean, you're like, these are the steps we're doing to make sure we're like prepped for it. I don't know. It's like the way you think doesn't give like you're going with the flow. It's like you are always thinking ahead. And I think also like you aren't filterless. I think that you are very mindful and eloquent with what you say and do.
Yeah. If you were to ask me questions and it's like, I'm not scared to come out and tell you that. I'm very observant.
Yes.
Very observant.
I'm
very practical in my decision making, and I'm very love to manage stress. Stress, I think, is like what everyone battles the most. Yeah. And so a lot of what I do is trying to manage and mitigate that stress in all aspects of life. Yeah. And so I'm very, thought through in a way. I definitely have a very soft side. That's usually when I want to, like, in certain situations, I'm not like outwardly very just soft like that. But I think in the industry that I'm in, if you're not like empathetic and compassionate, you have to have that working with anyone. That's like, that's when I cry, it's always about wildlife or documentaries, or like if I'm talking about like Ryan, like that. Especially if I'm drinking. Yeah.
Rhinoceros.
Very much have a retriever side to me.
Yeah.
But I think as I've grown into older age and maturity, there's a time and place for a retriever, but I'm very driven and passionate about what I'm passionate about. And so like the more structured and maybe like a German Shepherd and getting things done and all of that.
For sure, a German Shepherd. we love that. Well, you know, speaking of the trips, first of all, Natalie and I would love to be invited to an environmental trip, but can you please
invited me to some? And I know, like, no.
I know she's
well,
crazy.
Only because we've been so busy, and so I was like, I'd love
we're
to
not that busy.
One.
We're not that busy.
Well, if you had an animal that you would want to work with, what would it be?
Elephants, 100% elephants. That is that my that is my dream. I love elephants. I have tattoos of elephants.
Oh, yeah?
I love elephants. Hamsters. I love gerbils.
That makes sense. You do look like a hamster loving girl.
And I love horses.
I'm done with
that's
you.
That's such a random trio.
She's so
hamsters,
random.
Gerbils, and horses.
I just love those little small
I'm
little
done
creatures.
With you.
I'm just kidding. I love pandas though.
Pandas.
Yeah,
they're
my favorite animal.
One day I'll get there.
One day. But elephants. I love, love, love. But okay, speaking of trips though, obviously you and Natalie went on a trip to St. Kitts. Mm-hmm. Can you please clear up dating rumors? Did you guys date?
Okay, Blake, we're going to do a countdown. When we went to the Caribbeans together, did we date? 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
That was it. I just wanted to.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know what she's.
Okay.
I don't know where she was going with that. I don't know.
Anyways.
I think the way it came up, I mean, obviously we share agencies and things like that on that front. So there was a connection there set up, but it really took the first conversation with you to like, feel like, hey, is this someone that I could like get along with or like would be down? Cause we hadn't met in person. We were just talking on the phone.
Yeah.
And it was very like, remember you were hesitant.
Yeah. I was just like, well, first of all, I had never been on an animal conservation trip before. And then I didn't know you. Like, I didn't watch any of the seasons of The Bachelorette you were on. I had heard things about you through social media. I mean, like, good things. But I think you were kind of at the tail end of, like, there was a lot of news at the time regarding your ex and just, like, you know, a situation that you were in. Nothing big, but I was like, I feel like, I don't know, like, this is kind of weird that I'm going with him.
Yeah, it's just like, unknown territory, right?
But
yeah.
Honestly, I'm so glad I did because you are one of my favorite people. So nobody knows this. I don't think we've ever talked about it, but Blake and I have a marriage pact.
Yeah, we do.
We do. So if I am not married by age 35, we said that we would have kids and get married.
How many?
35 is coming up pretty quickly.
That's like 3-4 years. So
yeah, I was going to say, maybe do a 40?
Well, I'll settle on 37. But you really are one of my favorite people, like truly. I feel like the reason why I was so drawn to you is because we share the same sense of humor. Like, I'm very self-deprecating, but also as people saw through my season of Love is Blind, and just in general, I have like a mean sense of humor. And I feel like you also have, you could take
the
it. You
she also is, the have, more she likes you.
You also have a mean sense of humor too.
And I'm sarcastic. Yes. And so I can be, the thing is, we can be very much just ourselves. And it didn't take long to get to that comfortability point.
we were like so comfortable when we met. And yeah, it was honestly one of my favorite trips. Like looking back, I feel like, and we talk pretty often too. Mm-hmm. I think like I go to you for a lot of advice, or we just like kind of just like catch up. So that was a fun trip.
It was.
We have to have like a follow up.
So I'll be the maid of honor for the marriage pack. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
37.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All our pod besties are invited. Is there anyone in the reality TV space that you have had a romantic situationship or relationship with that the public doesn't know about? Not including me.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
No. One I'm not thinking. No, there isn't.
Do you know really? Something that he doesn't know?
No, I'm very. I mean,
no,
listen,
I'm just questioning
I think,
him.
First off, when it comes to like the Bachelor related people, there is definitely a massive pressure that like terrifies me to,
yeah,
date someone in that space again.
Oh,
because of the amount of failures that I've had in it. It's like, yeah. Oh, he's another. And what happens if it's just like it's stressful? So if I really yeah. were to think about or go that route again, mm-hmm. I would need to really feel confident about what that might look like, because, or I need to be very quiet for a long time to yeah. really feel that time out, because I can't fail in that space again.
No.
And yeah, it was just.
The public eye adds a whole nother layer to yeah, the relationship.
Especially in that branch. I think anyone else maybe in this reality space, at least, you know, it would be easier to consider that. Mm-hmm. But in the Bachelor world, really have to think that one through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm. Well, have you ever sent a DM asking someone out on the Bachelor franchise?
Yes.
Oh, whoa, that was a quick answer. Okay. Mm. Who? I'm assuming you won't name drop.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, I can't name it, but yeah, I have.
Okay, any famous people sliding into your DMs? Are you sliding into any famous people's DMs?
Yeah, there's been.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. I was going to say mine's Paula Abdul.
So oh, yeah?
It's nothing romantic, but.
Wait, who slid into your DMs? Who's famous?
Mm. He's not going to say.
Well, I think like she's.
No, it doesn't have to be like romantic.
Miley Cyrus. I'm just kidding.
I think they've only been romantic though. So there's.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Blake's never going to spill. If there's anything about Blake, it's.
Well, no,
he,
I mean, like she would be probably rattled months. If I dropped that.
Yeah, no.
Okay, that's I'll tell you headlines. Who it was.
Yeah.
It's Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
She's all over, man.
Do you think it's hard to date after doing a reality TV show?
Yes.
I agree.
I totally agree.
Very difficult.
Yes.
It's hard to be on dating apps. Everyone recognizes you. I don't think I'll ever go on a dating app.
I'm on dating apps.
She's on Hinge, but.
Yeah, I went on that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not about it. I want to meet somebody at a Whole Foods on a Sunday
yeah,
morning.
That's the ideal.
The ideal situation.
It's the ideal
situation. Or Home Depot.
For sure. It is the ideal. There's just a lot that goes into that. And there's a lot to look
especially
for
you because you're traveling a lot too. Mm-hmm. So someone has to fit into that lifestyle. And so for you to stay put in one place and like date is kind of harder for you.
It's the dating. It's the one thing it's the thing I want the most. Mm-hmm. Like finding a partner is the thing I want the most. It's the thing that I'm the most lost in. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing I always was so confident with that's now transitioned. I'm so confident in knowing what I want in life and I'm so happy. But the relationship, dating, partner space, I'm a lost puppy right now.
Mm. Why do you think you're lost? Do you think it's more of like you are just not finding the right person, or are you struggling with like prioritizing, mm-hmm. like finding the time to date because you're more focused on the trips, animal conservation efforts?
The best kind of reference or like explanation that I can like really put to people is, you know, you hear about the grass isn't always greener.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In my yard, I'm standing there right now. Okay. Grass is so nice. It's green. It's lush. There's gardens. I'm happy there. Mm-hmm. Brings me so much happiness. Across the street, there's this massive property, dead grass, but it could turn into like something better than you could ever imagine. Better than what you currently have on your side of the street. But it's a risk to go over there, because if you go over there and try to grow that, what you have could start to fall apart, not be as beautiful, and that happiness could fade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that other property, that other potential greener spot, you've got like the seasons, which plays into the timing. What is the soil like? Like, what is the core of what is going to get that property across the street, which could be fucking fantastic, takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. And I'm worried about finding all that time and letting what I have and all that happiness fade by trying to do that and grow that. And so I'm really stuck as to like, how do I manage both? And is there a situation where I go over there and I do find somebody that allows me to have both?
Yeah.
So that's like, it's greener. I think it is greener over there.
Mm-hmm.
That love on the other side of the street is better than what I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
It would make everything amazing, but I'm really terrified about leaving what I have and putting a lot of effort and time here. So that's why I talk about a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I love that lawn was curated a little bit to the point where I went over there and wasn't starting from pure scratch, where like the time and energy and all those things can take away from this. I really hope that I can find someone that's glaring enough that gives me enough confidence to, you know, why the chicken crosses the road. And it's like, get to the other side, but like, actually.
Yeah. Well, can I just say, I think the garden or the grass grows where you water it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as you continue watering the right thing, it'll always flourish into something. You know, you can't play the what if and the, you know, you just have to make a decision and go with it. And so I agree with you. I'm in a worried space of that too. Mm-hmm. But honestly, as long as you water where you need to, I think it'll grow into something beautiful.
I just think it's how thin do you spread those resources that you do have in that time and that energy? It's like, how do you manage that? I think that's where I'm trying to figure it out. And I don't have it figured out.
I just want, for our pod besties who are listening, what's one thing that I can start doing right now to help the environment? Like, it's easy. What can I do?
Or bring awareness.
Just bring awareness. Yeah. Anything that you would say our pod besties can start doing today? Because I care about the
environment. Blake, you have an organization. Well,
I have a company that's built on nonprofits, 501c3s.
Yeah.
So I used to have a donor advised fund, taking the money out of that, contributed to an organization. Now I have a conservation company that's built on supporting nonprofits.
Oh.
So, I mean, honestly, the easiest thing that I think that people could do that feel like they're getting value back in, mm-hmm. aside from, you know, trying to change your diet, there's lots of things you could do personally, yes. and there's a whole long list of that. But I think the hardest thing working in philanthropy and always in that, asking for money is difficult. Mm-hmm. A donation only is very, very difficult to get out of people. It's like, here's money, but what I get, where did the money go?
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
Challenging. Ecotourism directly related into wildlife goes usually, depending on as long as you do research, goes into conservation and gives back to animals. You in return get this amazing experience. Your fee kind of plays into and helping the organizations that are putting those things on. That's what we try to build and do. Right. So you're seeing a tangible value return and not just a donation.
Yeah.
You get this incredible experience that is like uplifting, and it's like perspective and all these things. You learn a lot,
mm-hmm.
you give, and you also get back. It's not just a donation. But I will say too, if you are making donations, don't see it as a donation when it comes to like wildlife. Why? Because biodiversity is so important. Wildlife is so important, right? In terms of like the makeup of this planet, everything, the system that it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an investment. It's not a donation. It's not an investment that you might see, but your kids will.
No.
So anytime you make a donation to anything environmental and planet oriented, mm-hmm. it's an investment for your kids. You're not going to see the immediate return. Yeah. Your kids will, mm-hmm. your grandkids will. So don't see it as a donation. It's an investment. It's never a donation.
Love that. Yeah.
There's not enough money that gets pumped into that. There should be. Yeah. We could dive in. We're not going to dive
in. I was going to say, you are passionate about it.
But yeah. But yeah, ecotourism. I think because you see a return.
Yeah.
And the more people that get out and do these things, the more they get to understand, the more they're like, okay, I see why this is important. I'm now in love with elephants, for example. This is incredible. And you, in some way, hope that over the life that they have, you've created a steward of conservation in that, mm-hmm. and they will continue to donate and want to support those organizations or those animals that they've seen. So get them out, because you just need to have an experience out there to change perspective, get them to care, get them to know and understand, because we don't have that here in Chicago and North America. We don't see it. But go have those experiences you'll want to start traveling that way a lot more than just getting loaded at a resort.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I know this about you, but how did you, like, where did this passion come from? Because I know that you were previously a park ranger. Is that correct? Am I making that up?
No, a lot of people think that. No, I was not a park ranger.
I was going to say, where did that come from?
I did a park ranger. I did wildlife ranger training last year. I got certified as a ranger last year in South Africa in the anti-poaching space to like know what it takes to.
Yeah.
It's important for me to do that. Yeah. How did I get there? I went to school originally for outdoor adventure, which is like survival, guiding, slope rescue.
That's search a major.
And rescue.
It's a
2-year diploma where you get like certifications. Oh, that's like cool. Business oriented and like travel and tourism. Anyways, a degree that kind of related to that in some sense. So a lot of schooling in that sense. It worked as a falconer, an apprentice falconer. So I used hawks and falcons and birds of prey to help in multiple facets of bird control or conservation efforts with birds. And that is a whole other world. But that's really where it started. I always loved animals before that. Mm-hmm. I was a hockey player in school, didn't get the grades I wanted, do zoology or animal behavior. So I like found other ways to get into wildlife. Yeah.
You're just a little scrappy young boy.
Yeah. And
hockey
then
player turned.
And a year before I went on the show, I went and spent about 3-4 weeks at organization called Care for Wild in South Africa, the largest rhino sanctuary in the world, located near the Kruger. A lot of the orphaned rhinos where their mums are poached come in there. And so they rehab them. Mm-hmm. And so I went and spent 4 weeks there because I dove into an article once that like, and I love rhinos because like prehistoric dinosaur, modern day, fell into that. Went out there, fell in love with rhinos and like the reason that we're, the unfortunate reason why this place has existed is that, we're hands-on feeding. See, that's why I can't talk about rhinos, but.
Oh, he's getting teary-eyed.
No, it's actually,
it's
beautiful. So anyways, I can't get on tangent with that.
No, it's.
Anyways, so I fell in love with it. But a year later, I landed on this show. Mm-hmm. And when I came off the show, I posted a couple things about rhinos and donations, petition signed thing. I'm like, wow, there's something to this.
Yeah, that's so cool.
There's a voice needed. And then it just spiraled. And that's kind of how everything's blossomed the way it has.
I love that. When I went to South Africa, I was at Madikwa and we did a safari. And our safari guide allowed us to get out of the vehicle and walk towards this like really, I think it was a very rare rhino.
A black rhino?
I think maybe.
I saw a black rhino actually when I was in Tanzania.
I don't know. He allowed me to get off of the vehicle and walk closer towards it though. And it was the most
maybe
incredible.
A white rhino next. I don't know if.
Yeah, because I don't think they would do that with a black.
Maybe not.
No, they wouldn't go to a black rhino.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think that. I think it was like a very chill moment, but my sister was so scared she didn't do it. But like I walked, it was. They're magnificent creatures, like so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I love that you're working with rhinos and doing that. I think it's so important.
I know. We've never really talked about your wildlife, like, I guess like your passion for it as deeply as now. And seeing you get, like teary eyed about it, I think it shows like how passionate you are.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just, I really do love that about you, Blake, is that you do have that passion and it's not just like this front of like, oh, look at me, like I'm passionate about this. Like you really are.
The thing is that world is not easy. It's not always fun.
No.
Spending 2 weeks in like the Amazon.
Yeah.
It's not the place that people, like there's days where I'm like, fuck, like it's not a fun place to be all the time.
No.
It's exciting and stuff, but it's not for the average person. There's a lot that goes into it and there's no money in conservation. You got to do a lot of really entrepreneurial type work to make these things happen because I don't take money from nonprofits ever. It's part of what I do in our partnerships. We try to bring them money or bring them whatever it is that they're working towards. So it's not an easy space to live in. The environments are harsh. Mm-hmm. It's just not an easy, I would be choosing, if I wanted to really do something else, make a ton of money in social media, I would find another avenue. It's just what I care about most. And it feels good doing it because it's rewarding, not for myself, but for the programs and things that we're working on. So
absolutely.
We love that.
Wow. Yeah.
As we close out, what's your relationship status now?
Mm-hmm. Very, very single. I mean, I'm connecting though. Like I'm really putting myself
good.
At least like keep the door open. It's not very open, but I It's a disservice, right? I think naturally as humans, we are social. We like need that connection in some way.
Absolutely.
And to fill that, if I was to close the door, I don't think it's healthy to close the door and just focus solely on like career, this. That's pretty stable for me. The door is open. It's just like, I have a hard time letting somebody in, but that soulmate's going to come by and just swing it
open
one
day.
You're going to meet her and you're just going to know.
Swing and open. We were talking about love at first sight, but we won't get into that, but I believe it is. We hope you find that. I know you will.
But if you don't, we're getting married at age 27.
She's banking on it at this point.
I was like, actually, I hope it doesn't work out.
Well, what does your future hold? What's coming up for you? Any goals?
Dreams?
Aspirations?
I mean, there's lots of really cool projects happening. So we're working on a full-length feature right now in wildlife, which is fantastic. Very mission-driven. Wow. And we have some funding to back that and get that started, which is great. That is a project that's happening in the background on top of just the natural projects that I have going on month to month with different wildlife projects. Go to South Africa in May, Kenya right after that, doing some elephant work, which is fantastic.
Back to Kenya.
Back to Kenya. The door is always open and there's always those opportunities come up in, I think, the reality space. There's always casting things happening and this and that. So, you know, I wouldn't say likely or unlikely, but there's, you know, things might happen. There's things in the works right now. So.
Okay. Amazing. You might be on Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to try
your
that.
Your dreams. Really?
I have a connection for you if you want.
I already have that connected. That's hilarious.
Well, Blake, where can we find you? Like outside of all the reality TV shows you've been on, like what's your Instagram handle?
Yeah. I don't have a TikTok, which everyone tells me I need to be on there, but
honestly,
I'm a 33-year-old man.
I can't imagine you just doing TikTok dances.
No, it's not for me, I don't think. All I have is an Instagram, but as these projects are developing more of the TV space with wildlife, which there are, that would be the place to really dive
into. And your Instagram is Blake Moines.
Blake Moines, just my name, Blake Moines. Yeah.
I would say, Pod Besties, if you guys think that you are Blake's soulmate, reach out to us on our Instagram page at Out of the Pod.
You will be Eskimo Sisters with me, which is the biggest honor.
Right.
But Blake, thank you so much for coming on Out of the Pods. As I've already said, you are one of my favorite people. So I'm so glad we were able to make this work and, you know, come back anytime.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This is a good little chat. We dove into a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
It almost got me to fucking cry.
Yeah. We haven't gotten a guest across ever.
Yeah, I got to that point. I was like, no, we're not talking about nothing bottles right now. Like, no. But
We appreciate you for being so candid with us.
Made it easy.
And as always, if you have any questions for Blake or questions for us in general or any comments, please DM us at our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.